You're listening to the podcast of High Rock Acton, where we seek to connect to God personally, to God's people, and to God's purposes. You can join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and learn more about us at highrockacton.org.
We can get overwhelmed by details. So consumed by them. I remember one fall, I was in ministry, and I was talking to a colleague before church, and you know, just asking how his marriage was doing. And he's like, "Well, you know how it is. We don't really get to see or talk to each other for like a month straight in like September, October." You ever been kind of in one of those seasons? Maybe you're in that season right now. For all the excitement of September, all the glory of the New England fall, really, the truth is the main drama of your life is about just putting your head down and plowing through a lot of details that maybe come up for a breath at Christmas time. And there's no time for relationship. Maybe no time for God. You know, it's easy in church on Sunday for us to like talk a big game and be like, "God's going to transform you. Live a life of love. All these big things." But most of our lives are played out in small details every day, kind of mundane things. So this September, instead of talking a big game, we're going to talk about details. Where is God in the small stuff? And to help us focus, instead of doing a series on an entire book of the Bible like we usually do, for this month, we are going to preach on just one verse. All right, one verse. Steph just read it for us, Psalm 37:23, and we love how it's rendered in the New Living Translation. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives." This month, the only thing I want you to get a lot from church, but the only thing I really want you to get from church is this one small verse, this one small truth. But I think it's a truth that can reframe all the other details of your life. And today I'm going to go even smaller. I'm going to focus on just one sentence. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." You know, that sounds like one of those like really nice religious Christianese things to say, but it's actually a profound reality. The Lord directs, some translations say, makes firm or establishes or arranges the steps of the godly. I think this affirmation, this trust that God does that is so important because it's so easy to believe that all the little steps of our life, all the little details that make up your week on the calendar, that all those small details don't add up. We've mentioned discouragement the last few weeks, and this is, I think, one of the biggest sources of discouragement in our life, that I'm plowing through all these details day after day, week after week, year after year, trying to be faithful, but maybe they don't add up to anything. Maybe it's just busyness. Maybe it's a waste of time. Now, I'm not talking about every detail in your life, because there probably are some details in your life that are a waste of time or just a diversion. All that time I spent preparing and researching for my fantasy football draft is probably not that important to God. God does probably not delight in that detail, though I won last year, so it might be worth it. This scripture is talking about, it says, the steps of the godly. It's talking about people of godly character, people who are seeking to be faithful to God, faithful to their commitments, faithful to those around them, faithful to their calling, but they're struggling to believe that all those little steps of faithfulness that we're trying to take every day, that they really add up to anything. I used to feel that constantly. I felt it constantly throughout my life. In high school, I'd be like, "Why am I learning all these chemical properties? Why am I learning to speak French for a fourth year? These details can't possibly be important to anyone's life." I felt this constantly in graduate school. I felt this call to be a teacher of God's people, and so my next faithful step was, I'm going to do a doctorate in theology. And first the thing you do is you come up with this big, exciting idea to write a dissertation, which sounds like a good idea, but then 3 years later, and 150 pages into like a 400-page project, you start writing sentences like this one. For Jensen, the representation of the triune God functions in the apostles' intersubjective shared consciousness as its objective metaphysical presupposition. That's to say, Jensen believes the apostolic consciousness to include an implicit identification of the triune God with the metaphysical structure of time itself. I don't even know what that sentence means, but I spent an entire week writing it. And I remember so often struggling to comprehend how faithfully slogging through all the details of my project, how that connects to that big idea I had at the beginning, and how they connect to that sense of vocation to teach God's people. I had such a great fear that all the time spent in the details wouldn't finally add up to anything, and that when it comes to my life, the great beauty of the forest would be lost in the trees. Do you know that struggle? You had a vision at some point of being this person who's going to like impact the world. You had this goal for your career. But now you've just been slogging away in this kind of boring, tough work situation for years, putting up maybe with a frustrating boss and struggling to understand how the daily grind connects to God's big plan. Or you have this vision of raising loving, amazing kids that your whole life would be like a baptized version of Full House. But instead, you're constantly slogging through like dirty diapers and laundry, and you're wondering if the work of patiently loving your kids in all these small, demanding ways will ever pay off and lead to that family you dreamed of. Or maybe you faithfully loved your kids for years, faithfully fought for them and advocated for them, been faithful in your marriage, even when it's been hard. Tried to do all the little loving things, but it still hasn't borne the fruit that you were hoping. Or you've been faithfulness in your singleness for many years, and God still hasn't sent Mr. or Mrs. Wright along the way. And it's hard to understand how all that little faithfulness will ever add up to something big. It's interesting, all throughout Psalm 37, it's actually a common theme throughout the scriptures. We hear about this temptation to look outside of our situation, over at the lives of the wicked, or those who kind of aren't interested in faithfulness and following God, and look at others' lives and say, hey, they're not even trying to live faithfully, and yet everything is working out for them. They got the promotion. They got that big house. In their Facebook pictures, their kids are always smiling. And it makes you ask, is faithfulness in the details, in all the little steps of my life, is it worth it? Is it worth it today, especially when I can't see or understand how this is all going to add up? But to that question, again and again, Scripture declares this one promise. It's true. The Lord, He directs the steps of the godly. The conviction of faith is that God, the one who made us, knit you together, is directing your story and arranging and putting together a beautiful story of redemption. Amidst all the details of your life, God is directing and arranging millions of little steps of faithfulness taken every day so that together, when you step back, they form a great journey that ends with Him and His purposes being fulfilled. Do you believe that? Romans 8:28, it says, and we know, our confidence is this, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and have been called according to His purpose. See, when you put the love of God at the center of your life and seek to faithfully respond to His call in all the details, God honors that and weaves together your life into something good. Now, I just want to be clear. It does not say that God causes everything in your life. There might be harm that comes your way, evil that threatens your life, even death. There are things all the time that happen in our lives that God laments and even opposes. And here on September 11th, we remember those realities. But the promise is that whatever comes, God is still the great director who weaves and orders and can even take things that were intended for evil and bring something good out of them. That's an incredible promise and power of God. So my first invitation for you this fall is to trust that God, the one who made you, is directing the details. That's a great promise and also a great relief. You know, I remember when I was working on my dissertation, like the biggest life project I'd ever done, I so often felt that if I get one sentence wrong, mess up one paragraph, it's gonna sink this whole thing. Like, it's gonna be like that little iceberg that sunk the Titanic. And I get so afraid that if I just mess up one time in my parenting, or in a relationship, or in a sermon, then I'm just gonna ruin everything. The ship's gonna go down. But this promise means that God's ability to direct and redirect is greater than my ability to ruin the script. God's ability to direct and redirect our lives is greater than my ability to ruin the script. So look at the very next step, the very next verse here. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every details of their life. Though they stumble, even when you stumble, they won't fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Are you willing to risk believing that? Risk trusting that the Lord really is actively directing the details of your life and can redirect and rescue them even when you've stumbled. Sometimes it takes a while to gain confidence in God, that God can really do that. And to gain that kind of trust in God's direction, it sometimes requires something of us. It requires that we regularly step back and glimpse the forest of God's faithfulness. Building trust in God's kind of direction requires that we regularly step back and glimpse the forest of God's faithfulness. Because when it comes to the details of our lives right now, we can't always yet see the forest through the trees. But part of growing in our confidence that God's really working something big and beautiful in and through our lives is by remembering and looking at other stories of how God works things together in the end. That's where the psalmist goes in the very next verse. He says, once I was young, but now I'm old. And now that I'm old and I'm looking back, I've never seen the godly abandoned. You know, part of what I appreciate about this psalm is that it's written from the perspective of someone who's lived a while. It's a different perspective. Remember, there's a time we had a family member in critical condition in the hospital. My father-in-law was there, and a lot of anxiety about what was going to happen, and this young medical resident was there trying to assure him. And he looked him in the eyes, a great young doctor, and he goes, I just need to talk to someone with gray hair. I want some assurance from someone with perspective. Sometimes we need the perspective of someone who's lived a while and seen how stories can work out and twist and turn, and that's the psalmist here. She struggled for many years with the question of whether all the details add up, if faithfulness was worth it even when it didn't feel like it. But now that she's at the end of the story, she can look back and affirm that God really doesn't abandon his people. That's the refrain of the psalm. God does not abandon the godly, those who faithfully offer their lives to him. There was a time where I was convinced that several years of my life, it was our first few years in ministry, I was convinced that they were a waste. We were pastoring a church that was hurting, and we just faithfully offered our lives to it. We weren't perfect. We stumbled along the way, but we were faithful. We made a deep investment in so many ways, intentional conversations, carefully crafted, awesome sermons, restructuring all like the polity, all this kind of stuff. It was hard, detailed, painstaking, love-filled work to try to move this hurting church, hurting people to a healthy place. And I had in my mind this clear vision of how God was going to use all that details and put them together to lead to this beautiful outcome. And it didn't happen. So then I came up with a new vision of how I was certain God was going to use all those details and put them together to, like, the plan B, beautiful vision. It didn't happen. In fact, the exact opposite happened. The stuff we warned about. And we left that church. And we felt so discouraged and disappointed. Feeling like years, blood, sweat, and tears of detailed, faithful work and love had been wasted. Have you had one of those experiences? Then it was this past spring, out of the blue, I was contacted by a friend of mine who's a pastor. And it happened that his church was in the exact same hurting spot that our church was so many years ago. He didn't know my experience, but he just happened to be reaching out for someone to process with and be a retreat speaker for his church during this tender time. And God opened the door to use all the pain of the past, what I felt like had just been a huge waste, and use that experience and all the details I had to process back then. And I was able to offer that to be a blessing to this other church who was in a hurting time and help lead them to healthy closure. And so, like, 8 years out from that place where I was just like, that was such a waste, I finally got this glimpse of the forest that, like, oh, God, you use our past. You use our investment. You work it together for good. And that was so reassuring to me. Trust requires that we regularly glimpse the forest of God's faithfulness. And the older we get, the farther along we get in the story, you get more glimpses of that great forest of faithfulness, the way God takes details, maybe even faithful years that seemed wasted, and weaves them together and works them together for the good of those who love him and be called according to his purpose. And as you get some of those glimpses, it encourages you to stay faithful. I could tell you story after story from my life of how God took seemingly wasted details and worked them together for a redemptive thing I could never imagine before. But you know what the greatest story that God has given us to encourage us? It's the story of his son, Jesus. We don't always talk about it this way, but really the story of Jesus, when it kind of first came to an end with him dying on the cross, it seemed to everyone around to be a story of wasted faithfulness. After Jesus died, his own disciples, they were like, okay, we thought this was worth it, that he'd be the Savior, the one who changes everything, and this just ended in failure and disappointment. We are so disappointed. We spent years following him faithfully. For what? Jesus spent years healing and proclaiming God's kingdom. For what? But then 3 days later, God raised his son Jesus from the grave. Because God doesn't abandon the godly. Even when all of our faithful efforts and love, and even in death, our promise is that God can still work and redeem and raise up and work life together for the good. That's an incredible promise. If you walk away today with one thing, it's this, that a life offered to God is never wasted. Life offered to God is never wasted. The background of our series slide, this is actually a close-up of a painting by Vincent van Gogh. If you zoom out, the real painting, it's called Wheatfield with Crows. It's one of the last paintings of his life. It's now considered, you know, a masterpiece, along with all of his other works. People now credit van Gogh with kind of shaping modern impressionism painting, influencing the entire art world even until today. But did you know in his lifetime, Van Gogh did not see any of that? All this recognition and influence, it happened all after his death. Most of his life was spent wrestling with sadness, struggling to see how everything worked together. And what occupied his attention most days were not like sitting back and be like, wow, I just painted an awesome finished masterpiece. But instead, when you zoom in, it was the close-up details. All those individual paint strokes. And part of the unique part of Van Gogh's painting is like each stroke is bold and distinct and thick. And sometimes when you look that closely at a Van Gogh painting, it's hard to see how all these like singular strokes are really actually going to work together to make something beautiful. It's like a lot of disconnected strokes. But what sustained him was this vision that it's going to come together into a beautiful masterpiece. And even though he struggled to recognize that in his life in general, he actually had this faith in God as well. Even most days he struggled with sadness. He didn't see how his life was going to add up and work out. He had this faith in God. In 1876, Van Gogh, we know him as an artist, he actually preached a sermon in church. Preached a sermon. And it began with this line. He said, it's an old belief and a good belief that our life is a pilgrim's progress, that we're strangers on this earth, but that though this be so, we are not alone, for our Father is with us. We're pilgrims. Our life is a long walk or journey from earth to heaven. And some actually believe this painting of the wheat field is trying to convey that conviction, that faith, that in the middle of this field, with crows that some think symbolize death and how things can come to an end, yet there is a pathway forward in the middle. And it's a long walk. It's a journey. It takes a lot of little steps. You can't quite see over the horizon and where it's going to go. But when you offer in faithfulness each of those steps, it's a clear path leading us to God. Sometimes we've got to be reminded there's a bigger journey that we're on, even when we can't see over the horizon. So trust requires glimpsing that forest, but sometimes the last thing it requires is letting go of the need to see how everything works out. The invitation to trust that God is actively directing our lives is also an invitation to surrender control. Proverbs 20:24, it says this, hey, the Lord directs our steps, right? They said it over in the Psalms. So why try to understand everything along the way? And that is hard. Because I so want to understand and control how my life is working out. I want to know how every email is going to lead to some great result, how every diaper change will lead to a grateful, awesome child. We all want to know how years spent learning calculus or struggling with a coworker or working through a divorce, how God will direct that and work it together for my good. But when we're in the midst of it, we can't always understand. We can't see the ending. So our call is simply to trust that God is faithful to the end, just like he was with Jesus. And to trust that things that seem like an ending, like a disappointment, that actually might just be the beginning of God's great work. So we keep stepping forward in faith. Don't let your inability to see how everything works together prevent you from faithfulness. You know, if you read the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God, and he often compares the kingdom of God to really little things. The kingdom of God, he says, is not like a megachurch. It's not like a campaign to solve world poverty, though those are really good, big things. No, Jesus says the kingdom of God, it begins with things small and simple. It's like a farmer who faithfully takes a whole bunch of tiny seeds all over the place and spreads them wherever he goes. And much of that seems wasted, but some of it takes root and produces fruit like you wouldn't imagine. Later in that same chapter, Matthew 13, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of them all. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. You see, the vision Jesus gives us of how God works in our lives is that if we faithfully plant little seeds and faithful in the little things that we faithfully love and invest in others in a million of little ways, ways that sometimes can feel like a waste, God does something with that. and we can't always see it at first. God takes those seeds and waters them and bears great fruit, sometimes beyond all we can imagine. It's God's job to bear the great fruit, to work things together in beautiful and redemptive ways. It's not our place to understand and figure out how God will do that, but our job is to be faithful with that little bag of seeds that you've been given. With the little things, with the details, with the ones that even feel like a waste, like they possibly can't add up. Plant seeds. Take faithful steps. And do it in trust and faith that God can do something big. We're about to go into a busy season in lots of places at life. I'm feeling busy already. We're going to be busy here at church. As we enter into this fall busyness, I want to invite all of us, I want to call us to a season of faithfulness in the little things. Now, if you've been coming here for a while, this might, you can consider this to your church home. I want to encourage you to be faithful in one specific way. To take the small step of inviting somebody to church. We have these invite cards. I'd love for you to grab one of these, maybe 10 of them on your way out today, and invite someone to our kickoff service next week. Invite a neighbor. Invite a coworker. Invite that friend you've been in conversation with. We have a mailman that comes to our church office every week. I invited him yesterday. And I have no idea how God's going to work in the details of the lives of others. I don't know how spiritually hungry those around me are. But I do know that God uses little things, like a personal invitation, to bear great fruit in his time. Did you know almost every transformed life begin probably with an invitation, a small invitation, a welcoming handshake, a personal note. So take the small step to faithfully invite, welcome another person. For all of us, I just want to encourage you to be faithful in your life. A lot of you have a lot of details, a lot of different things that occupy your attention. A lot of it doesn't feel exciting or holy. Be faithful there. Represent Jesus in the work of parenting, in the work, of friendship, of loving others. And trust that a life faithfully offered to God in little things will never be wasted. I invite up the worship team to lead us in a time of response where we can kind of turn and praise God for being the director of our lives. So as we worship, I just invite you, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed or don't see how things add up in your life, I invite you, whatever it looks like, if it looks like raising your arms or just kind of quietly meditating in your heart, to praise God that he is directing. And he's calling you to be faithful. He's not necessarily giving you the script of this is how it's all going to work out. Often he doesn't. But he's working. And so praise him and stay faithful to him. And as you do that, I want you to just think about, kind of take stock of, what are the details in my life that are kind of out there, and where is God calling me to be faithful this week, this season? Think about that. Respond to God with a desire to be faithful in the little things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new season. We thank you that you are a good and faithful God and that you don't abandon your people. That when we offer ourselves to you, your commitment that we see in Jesus is that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will weave our lives together for the good. And even when we're experiencing what feels like the exact opposite of good, our promise is that you're going to keep working into eternity. That if death stops us, you'll raise us up. So God, we give you our lives, all the details that make them up. And we ask that you would be faithful. give us the patience and perseverance to move in faithfulness. Replace our discouragement with a spirit of encouragement. God, take the little things, the little seeds of love, and grow them into something beautiful. And even when we can't see it, help us to trust you, trust your timing. And invite you to continue in a kind of spirit of prayer and kind of offering yourself. Let's stand and respond to God in worship and in song. Thank you.